Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us tonight on our episode of Breaking the Silence. And tonight we're talking about domestic violence again because school has just started. Our children are in school, and we've been having an onslaught of violence in general. But also there have been a lot of articles about teenagers and young people committing suicide because of violence or because of belittled at school and just trying to navigate through life with the onslaught of just mean children, mean young people, not understanding how to relate with each other. And so what I did on tonight, I asked my grandchildren, actually varying in age, to join me on tonight's episode as we talk about domestic violence. Our subject for tonight is expelling domestic violence from your class, really learning how to deal with domestic violence in school. And what we had talked about in our general conversation about it was that we have domestic violence, the face of domestic violence is showing up in every age bracket. You think of it, domestic violence is there. We have our young children, even as early as kindergarten, who are being bullied at school. They don't know how to handle bullying. Parents don't know how to reciprocate and handle bullying that their children are going through. Then it can bring on the face of even as they grow up and become into grammar school, it can look like peer pressure and, again, the bullying in school. And then in high school, it's just an onslaught because they're learning how to interact and how to have relationships. It can come off as somebody being in love with you when in actuality they are the red flag of domestic violence. And so we just want to talk with you guys on tonight about that subject matter. I have with me my granddaughter Kiara, who's a senior at Rich East High School. And then I have with me also my grandson Kaleo, who is in what grade? He's in fifth grade in what school?
Barack Obama.
He attends that. And then I have my granddaughter Faith with me, who is really here for moral support, but she also may have something to say. And Faith attends Black Hawk School, and she's in kindergarten. And so on tonight, we just want to have a conversation, an open conversation about domestic violence and the things that they may encounter in domestic violence. Now, when I talk to you guys about domestic violence and just hearing how some young people are finding themselves where they are being bullied at school, have you all encountered that in school, any type of bullying or encountered any type of relationship, domestic violence, maybe in high school, anything like that? Have you personally encountered it?
I've been through fights before.
You've been in fights before. Were they fights where they were just trying to pick on you, or how did the fight start?
My first fight in first grade, it's actually kind of, you know, childish. It was this boy, and then I was switching seats. And then I got in the seat, and then he kept saying, get off of my seat, get off of my seat. That's when he did the fist up and then started hitting me, and I got bruises.
Oh, okay.
I had a black eye.
Okay. Well, how did you handle that, Khalil? How did you handle it? Did you hit him back? Did you get your teacher? What did you do? How did you handle that situation?
I got out of the seat.
Okay. Do you feel like he was bullying you? Do you feel like he was trying to control you and make you move? Like, were there any other seats around? Why did he have to have that seat?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. So that can be a case of bullying. That can be a case of somebody who feels like they're stronger than you or whatever, and they want you to do what they say as opposed to being nice and doing the things that they need to do. So what about you, Kiara?
Okay, I was just going to say that the only
But when I see now it's normally just fights, like, still, like, even in high school, it'll be fights. But it's, like, it's not, like, in Khalil's case, like, how it was, like, mostly just, like, the other person. But, like, in high school, it'll be, like, a miscommunication, or they was friends, then they was, like, arguing. Like, I don't think it'll necessarily be bullying, because, like, they'll fight, and then next thing you know, you'll see them, like, friends in the hallway and stuff.
Okay.
But that's really on the close thing, because, like, really, it's, like, as you get older, people don't really, like, let that happen. Like, if they see, I've, like, seen situations where, like, somebody will try to say something rude to somebody, but then their friends will all, like, kind of gang up and, like, defend that person. So, like, verbal bullying don't really happen. Like, it'll probably just fly if it's, like a class clown or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they'll, like, try to, like, make jokes off of people. But normally, like, that is kind of like we all, like, laughing at each other, per se.
Okay. Okay. All right. And so, because you're in high school, you're a senior in high school, and relationships are forming, boy-girl relationships are forming, and have you seen instances where you see a young man perhaps, and I don't want to use the word verbally abusing, but verbally disrespecting young ladies at school, and how are they handling that particular situation? Have you seen that at your school, or, you know, do people just keep walking when they see it? You know, that ain't my business. What is the mindset of those who are?
It's crazy because I actually just heard a story about this girl and her ex-boyfriend, and she said, like, they, like, met up because, like, apparently they was, like, dry arguing, like, texting, and then they said they was going to meet up, and then, like, they actually started, like, fist fighting, apparently, at, like, the park or something. But mostly, the most disrespect that, like, a guy will do is just, like, they don't claim their girlfriend. Like, they act like they don't go out.
Oh, okay.
Everybody know they do.
Okay. So not owning up to the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you haven't seen, like, a lot of interactions where, because I was reading this article, and it's called Break the Cycle. And it says, by the time you graduate high school, 1 in 3 of your peers will have experienced some form of dating violence. Some might call that a public health epidemic. And so 1 in 3 of your peers, 1 out of every 3 of your peers will go through some type or experience some type of dating violence. And so that's alarming. Or even when you hear it, you know, articles in the news. I've seen articles where, Khalil, you're 11. I've seen articles where children as low as, you know, as young as you even will try to commit suicide because they feel like they're bullying. What do you think the mindset is of somebody your age? If somebody was bullying you, what would you do? What are the steps that you would take if somebody, like, was threatening to fight you for no reason and you felt like they were, I'm going to say, bigger than you, or they might be have the dominating physique to win and you are scared? What would you do to handle that particular situation? How would you handle that, Khalil?
Tell the teacher.
Tell the teacher. Just the teacher?
I might tell.
Oh,
no, just the teacher.
Okay, so
my
you said
teacher.
Okay, just the teacher. Would you share that with your parents? Would you tell your mom or your dad? Why or why not?
Yes.
You would? You would tell your parents. When would you tell them?
When I get home.
Okay, when you get home. So how do you think your parents should handle it? You come out from school, you tell your mom, this boy in my class or this boy in another grade is trying to fight me. He's bigger than me, and he keeps threatening me. He takes my money from me. He takes my lunch, and he throws it on the floor. He calls me out of my name and things of that nature. So you told your mom all this. How do you think your mom should handle it?
Go to school and
beat the boy up.
No, not beat the boy.
Okay.
Beat the boy.
meet the boy. Okay.
Call his mom.
Or call his mom.
Tell the principal.
Or tell, okay, those are good answers. Tell the principal. I don't know about the meet the boy kind of a thing. Maybe she could go to class and talk to the teacher and point him out or whomever he is. But definitely tell the principal so you wouldn't get sad and come home and go to your room and cry and, no? You would get furious. Okay. All right, but don't get furious. The other one, tell your mom, let your mom go up to the school and talk to the principal and stuff like that. But you wouldn't get depressed. What about you? What if that's happening with you? Here you are, you're in high school, and somebody's threatening to fight you or whatever. What would you do?
The way our school set up, because we, like, out of, like, Rich East, Rich South, and Rich Central, Rich East is known as the fighting school.
Okay.
So they have, like, a lot of things to do before suspension.
Okay.
Because they trying to get the suspension days down. Like, we have peer mediation. We get mediation with deans. Like, it's a lot of routes to do.
Okay.
Like, in school.
Okay. But part of the thing would be, though, to get to somebody to get help. So you've got different avenues that you can go if you're finding that to be a problem. You can talk to, who would you go to first? Let's go. What would be the steps that you would take if that was happening to you? And I want you to be honest. What would be the steps that you would take?
Okay.
So you somebody's threatening you. Six girls telling you they're going to beat you up, or every day, you know, they're ridiculing you, talking about you, whatever. What are you going to do? What are the steps you're going to take for that problem?
The first thing I would do, I'll come home, tell my mama. And then, like I said, I would go to the school and do the peer mediation thing, like how you said with the 6 days and stuff. I mean, because you said it was 6 girls and stuff like that. Like, I don't really know the steps as far as peer mediation, because, like, I ain't never had, like, no problems
okay. Like that.
To, like, know the process, but, yeah.
Okay.
It's, like, it's senior year. Like, you got to have a different mentality as far as, you know, suspension and stuff like that, because they take everything away.
Okay. So, Faith, you're in kindergarten, and you're in class, and somebody is picking on you. They're trying to take your lunch from you, and they won't let you eat your lunch. Every day they take your lunch, and what would you do?
They don't do nothing.
They don't do that at your school? That's good. Everybody plays nice at your school? Okay. Well, what would happen if you saw that happening to somebody? What you think should happen?
I will tell the teacher.
Definitely tell the teacher. Okay. And what if the teacher doesn't really handle it well? Then who are you going to tell?
I'm going to tell mom and dad.
And you're going to tell mom and dad. That's very good. And that's what we need to do. Because my reason for having this is because of the fact that we're hearing it so much. Why do you think we're hearing it so much in our culture and in our times where there's so much domestic violence in schools? And when I say schools, Khalil, I'm not necessarily, for you it would be like bullying or people fighting all the time. You all have already said that you don't have that a lot at either of your schools. The time you did have it, you all handled it. The situation was, you know, squashed and you moved on about your business. But why do you think we hear that so much? Or why do you think these statistics are saying that by the time you graduate, 1 out of 3 students will have gone through domestic violence or some kind of domestic or dating violence? What do you think the mindset is? And I know it's kind of, you know, it's a lot, but just in general, just thinking of it, what do you think the mindset is? I'm just going to say young ladies your age, what do you think their mindset is for this statistic to be this high?
I think some, like some girls, like, be thinking they be, like, playing or something like that. Like, a lot of girls, like, even in the hallway, like, they'll just be Like they'll just be playing. Like, to them, it's flirting. Even, like, the gay girls, like, they be just playing with each other. Like, just putting each other. I'm, like, trying to get the class. But, yeah, like, they some people think like that. And, too, it's like, I don't know what's going on with children nowadays, but some of them don't even need to be, like, in relationship. Like, we was in gym class, and everybody was talking about how, like, basically they just, like, cheat on each other, or, like, if they think that guy is, like, cheated, if they get, like, any type of suspicion, like, then they'll go cheat and stuff like that. So I feel like it just be a lot of, like, emotion, if that makes sense.
Right, untamed emotion.
Yeah,
well,
they just be emotional, and they don't know what to do with it.
Okay, so from that situation, when you're seeing that, like, okay, and I don't know if you were trying to, like, not blow the situation up, because you said that they're, like, playing in the halls. Is this playing in the hall, like, hitting each other, or do you feel like when they hit too hard?
They'll be hitting, like, just, like, grabbing.
Okay.
Like, grabbing, even, like, today, like, they'll be, like, not really, like, choking, but, like, holding, like, by the back of the neck, or, like, sometimes, like, the front.
Wow. Okay. That's not good. I want to just,
good.
No.
But, like, the girl would be, like, laughing, or it'll be, like, stop, or stuff like that.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So, do you know, like, what the signs are for red flags for domestic violence, because it's pushing. It's
I didn't hear you say. I've been looking at them like.
Yeah, that's red flag. That's okay. Come on.
So like when I was in third grade, this girl, she's a special ed, and then she will have these problems. She'll fight the teacher and push the desk and throw stuff on the floor. And then all the girls in the classroom will cry. And then they all have to calm down. It's like, geez, what's going out there? And my teacher had to go out there to see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just screaming and yelling.
Wow. So how do you think they handled that?
I guess they calmed her down or something.
Okay. And for that situation, though, you have someone who is having some mental illness is playing a part in that, which is a little different than what we're talking about. What we're talking about of those who are in your regular classroom who, forever whatever reason, want to try to control you in some kind of way. They want to try to tell you what to do. And when they're telling you something to do, it's something to belittle you. It's something to mock you, to make fun of you. But it's evil. I don't want to say it's evil, but it's mean, okay? And those are the things that you want to try to steer away from. Those are the things that you definitely want to talk about and bring to the forefront of your teacher. Now, you know, even going back to the girl to putting the hand on the neck and that kind of thing. So in their playing with it, these are not people apparently that you know close. You're not close to them. You just seen them in the hall. And are there any teachers around? Is anybody saying anything about that? I mean, because how do we get that to the administrators? How do we get that to the counselors? How do we get that to them so that they'll know what type of things are going on? And I'm not saying, you know, that they need to be getting them and putting them in jail or sending them somewhere like that. I'm saying just so that they're aware of it and somebody can say, you're better than that. You're better than somebody putting their hand on your neck and, you know, pushing you around and, you know, you taking it lightly.
I sometimes, like, hear, like, the cooler, not like cooler, but like the teachers who not just there to like get a paycheck.
Okay.
They'll say something to the little girls and they be telling them the guys to like, you know, get off of them, leave them alone. But mostly it just be the security guards. It just be like, hey, stop. They don't like, they just
okay.
Don't really do nothing after that. But usually if it's a teacher saying something, it'll be a female teacher and then they'll talk to the girl.
Okay.
A few times.
Now, my what I would like to know, even from what you just said, that the security guard will just say stop and then they'll break it up. You know, how often have you seen the same person when you're saying stop to them? You know, what is it that gets them to know that this is a serious problem, or I'm seeing this too much, and perhaps I should recommend that a counselor sees them? You know, what are the steps that are being taken? I know you don't know the answer. I'm just shooting it out there. What are the steps that are being taken? Because if you are a teacher, if you're an educator and you're listening to this, then you need to be aware that situations like that is going on so that these things can be addressed. You know, for somebody who is a counselor to have an eye out, to look for that. If you're an educator, somebody may be listening that's an educator. We need to start looking at these things and spotting these things so that we can begin to address them. That's the thing that I wanted to say about that. So I wanted to read a poem to you. I was trying to wait. Pastor Elder Bethel Hall was going to come in as well, and I've been going back over there to see if she had chimed in yet so I can click her in on the conversation. But I wanted to read this poem that I printed out. If it's just one number there, that's me. If it's two, it could possibly be her. 550?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, then. I'm going to let Kiara read this poem for me, and I'm going to go and click Minister Hall in so that she can join in on the conversation. And the name of the title of this poem is called I Got Flowers Today.
I got flowers today. It wasn't my birthday or any other special day. We had our first argument last night, and he said a lot of cruel things that really hurt me. I know he is sorry and didn't mean the things he said because he sent me flowers today. I got flowers today. It wasn't our anniversary or any other special day. Last night, he threw me into a wall and then started choking me. It seemed unreal, a nightmare, but you wake up from nightmares. And I woke up this morning sore and bruised all over, but I know he is sorry, because he sent me flowers today. I got flowers today, and it wasn't Valentine's Day or any other special day. Last night, he beat me and threatened to kill me. Makeup and long sleeves didn't hide the cuts and bruises this time. I couldn't go to work today because I didn't want anyone to know, but I know he's sorry because he sent me flowers today. I got flowers today, and it wasn't Mother's Day or any other special day. Last night, he beat me up again, and it was much worse than all the other times. If I leave him, what will I do? How will I take care of my kids? What about money? I'm afraid of him, but I'm too scared and dependent to leave him. But he must be sorry because he sent me flowers today. I got flowers today. Today was a very special day. It was the day of my funeral. Last night he finally killed me. He beat me to death. If only I had gathered enough courage and strength to leave him, I would not have gotten flowers today.
Okay. And so, Minister Bethel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay then. Okay. Welcome to our conversation. She just finished reading a poem that I got flowers today, and of course the poem ends with tragically, unfortunately, where this young woman's life was taken by the perpetrator. And so when we look at that, you know, the opportunities and the time, and as Kiara was reading, I wanted you to note or to say what was the escalation. Like each time, yeah. Each time, what would happen?
Like, first, it was just emotional, and then he,
emotional
like...
Emotional how?
Emotional, because it said he was just, like, he didn't say that, he said a lot of cruel things.
So first it was verbal?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the second time, it said she, like, she was choked, and then she, like, had a little bit of bruises, but she could have them.
So he just kind of started grabbing her, and like you said earlier, choking her, putting his hands on her neck, and she has had a little bruising. Mm-hmm. The bruise is probably from him shaking her or things like that. Mm-hmm. So she just had bruising, and then what happened?
Then the third time, I guess he, like, it was, like, worse. Like, she couldn't covered up and she couldn't even go to work.
Okay.
And then the fourth time, now they like married and she has kids and stuff, and he's still doing the same thing.
Okay. And
but
then
she trying to leave, but then she couldn't leave. Okay. And then the last one, she killed her.
Yes. And so what does that show you?
That it escalates.
Yes, it escalates. It progresses. You know, it starts off where, you know, and I'm saying this for especially the girls, young ladies who are on the line, where it starts off just verbal, where he's just cursing you out all the time. And then it ends up where it even maybe he's cussing you out all the time. And it just keeps escalating and escalating until eventually it's physical and you can do nothing about it. But she couldn't get the courage to leave. So, Minister Bethel, I'm not sure how much of our conversation you heard about domestic violence in teens. Do you have anything that you wanted to add or any questions that you want to ask Kiara and Khalil?
Oh, okay. That was Khalil. I was like, who is that? I came in on, I think Kiara was talking about, I think the guys putting their hands around, you know, the young lady's neck. So that was where I came in on that. And for that, then you posed the question, how do we get the counselors or the teachers to become, you know, more aware or more involved to let them know this is not acceptable, you know, you don't need to be treated like this, that kind of thing. And what was kind of steering through my mind, even as she was talking, was that we have to get to a place where our young ladies know that it's not acceptable, and not being fearful to say so. Because a lot of this thing, and I've seen it when I was in high school, seeing it, just growing up day to day or whatever. But for some reason, they have in their mind that, you know, it's just plain. It's just plain. And sometimes it escalates. And, you know, the young ladies will actually, you know, get hurt and they'll hit them back and, you know, they'll get mad and stop talking to them for a day or two or for a class period or so. And then, you know, they back at it and they're not thinking or looking at it as a red flag, as a sign of domestic violence. I don't even think their mindset goes there. They just look at it as, you know, we're playing. He may have got a little rough or he likes me or he get on my nerves. But how do we get them to a place where they understand that this is not acceptable? It's not plain. It's not, you know, being playful or a sign that they like you, and not to tolerate it, not to accept it. Because as long as they are accepting it, as long as they're not saying anything, then the young men will continue to do that. And then every now and then you'll have a teacher, you'll have the security guard to step in, you know, when it's in public view, they'll stop it. But what happens when it's in private? Because more likely that it'll also happen when they're alone, when they're not in class, when they're not walking the school hallways, but it'll happen on the way home. It'll happen when they're, you know, in the house, when they're not supposed to be, but it'll happen somewhere else outside of school. So we have to get them to a point of understanding that it's not acceptable, it's not funny, it's not fun, it's not playing games, and no boy, no man has a right to put their hands on you in any type of, you know, rough way. So that was just what was going through my mind, just getting the ladies to understand that is not funny. It's not, because if it starts there as the poem progressed, that, you know, it just started with verbal stuff, it'll progress to something else. It'll always progress to something else and to something worse. Because most likely it probably started off verbal. It probably started with them, you know, with them calling each other names, with them, you know, saying something verbal to each other, and then it progressed to an actual physical thing. So we want to stop it from stop it from progressing. But we have to let them know that it's not acceptable. We have to let our men know, our young boys know, that it's not right to put your hands on a young lady. So it goes both ways. How do we get into the schools and teach that? So that's where my mind was churning as you were talking.
Yeah. That's a challenge that we have, and I do know of some other domestic violence facilities that offer to go into the high school. In fact, I heard one say that they go into several high schools where it's a problem at. But I was sitting here as you were talking, and I want some feedback on it. I remember when we were in high school, these girls would come to school and they'd have hickeys all on their neck. Hickeys on their neck, hickeys on the boy's neck, and that's a form of bruising. And they would think that it was like it was something cute. But I'm wondering. I'm sitting here, and my mind is going like, you know, what does that speak when somebody wants to put a bruise on you and think that that looks good? Keep in mind, it's a bruise. They want to put a bruise on you, and they want to tell you that what they're doing is, first of all, it's like, you know, getting your cattle together, you know, I'm trying to think of the correct terminology. Branding, yeah. Branding, that's a form of control in my mind. That's just me thinking off the grid right now. And so what's your feedback on that? Kiara, how do you feel about that? Have you seen that in school where girls are coming or guys are coming with hickeys on them and things of that? Okay, so it was just in my era, I guess. Minister Bethel, what about you?
Well, I definitely grew up in the era of hickeys. guys and the girls coming to school with hickeys, trying to hide them with the turtlenecks, and some didn't care. It was just like all up and down. And that's funny that you were thinking about that too, because that popped in my mind as well as you all was talking. I was like, it just like, well, what about the hickeys? Because that is a sign of control, or like you say, marking their territory. It's territorial, and again, it's about getting us to change the mindset. That ain't just making out. That's me marking you that you belong to me. Because whenever anybody see it, it's going to pose the question, where you get that from, who you been with, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's definitely marking the territory.
That's what came to mind as she was talking, talking about not another thing that we have to address, and in that I'm not in agreement with it, it's growing, and that's the audience of the LGBT. You were saying about even the gay girls at school and how domestic violence affects them too. I remember when I took my my class, and I had on my notebook Elder Katie Pierce, and he was always asking me, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to handle that? You know, what are your thoughts when you start thinking about domestic violence? What are your thoughts about same-sex couples and domestic violence, men or women? Now, keep in mind the statistics say that men are less likely to report. Men are less likely to report in the same-sex relationships. Women report more often. So what is it? How do we, you know, deal with that from the aspect? Do we treat it any different? Do you see it any differently at school? Because you said the girls. So you're not seeing that in boy-on-boy relationship at school, just mainly the girls do that. That's scary, too. That would happen that way. But give me some feedback on that. Let's talk about that a little bit. We don't have to go into great depth. But what's your mindset towards that?
I'm sorry, towards like what specifically?
Domestic violence and same-sex genders. You know, how do you look at it? You know, you already stated that was an issue in your school. How do you look at it? When you look at it, when you see it, what comes to mind for you?
I mean, I just feel like it's the same thing.
It's not exactly. That's what I wanted to hear you say.
I was like,
it's the same thing. Domestic violence is not tolerated, no matter what the relationship.
Yes.
It's, you know, heterosexual or homosexual. Domestic violence is not acceptable. And so ministering to it or addressing it in whatever the capacity is going to look like the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Domestic violence isn't about heterosexual or homosexual. It's about control. One of the partners want to be in control. And so any feedback from you, Minister Bethel?
Even as you were talking, remember at one of the sexual relational healing retreats, actually coming into contact with the same sex domestic violence couple, females, their domestic violence looked a little different. The mechanism of control, for one, was self-mutilation, hurting herself when her partner threatened to leave.
Okay.
And so it was things that she would do to herself to get her partner to stay. You know, their conversation, there was definitely verbal abuse. I'm pretty sure that was physical abuse too. But whenever, you know, the partner of the young lady, you know, would, you know, get tired and be like, you know what, I can't do this, then, you know, the other one would go and cut herself, or, you know, send dirty text messages that she was going to kill herself or take something, or, you know, to get her to stay. So she felt fearful that if she left, then her partner would die. Or she would do something to herself. So she felt obligated to stay in it, even though she felt a pulling or option to break free from that.
Because
like,
even
wow.
even though it looks, you know, how can I verb it? Even though that's a sad thing, or she's still striking and trying to be in control
exactly.
through another way. And most
yeah.
time with heterosexual relationship, it looks like the form of the man saying he's going to commit suicide, he'll kill himself, I can't live without you. And that's still, now that has switched into emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're trying to play on the emotions of the other person and to get them
right.
to stay. And it's still a form of
right.
abuse, you know. And so I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, in any relationship, if things are not going well and you decide, you know, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, you shouldn't have to deal with the emotions or deal with the guilt, somebody trying to manipulate you into staying through those particular terms. So
mm-hmm.
so that's important. That's really, really important for us to understand, especially those who are going through domestic violence. Don't let them manipulate you into feeling like, you know, if you stay, if you leave me, then I can't live without you. That's a part of that cycle. That's a part of that domestic violence cycle. And so you want to make sure that, you know, even in saying whatever, you need to get some help. You need help, and not let that be
mm-hmm.
a factor of making you stay, because it's manipulation and it's emotional abuse. And so any other comments from you or anything you'd like to add about emotional abuse, Kiara?
No, but I did want to say earlier when you guys were talking about going to the schools that sometimes just have, like, random guest speakers, like,
uh-huh.
throughout the year. So, yeah, I want to look in that. I don't know, like, why. Or, like, what's they scheduling around that?
Okay.
Like, it feels like it's just, like, random timing when we have them, but, yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Want to look into that. Perhaps we can look into going up to Rich East, setting up something. Thank you, Kiara. To go up and talk to them about, you know, domestic violence, dating, healthy relationships. What does a healthy relationship look like? And just begin to minister to them or to address these issues of domestic violence. Because even though it's something that you haven't seen a lot, it's probably happening. It's probably happening. Somebody doesn't know how to reach out, how to address the issue of that. And so I would just say, you know, for you, for the people that you hang with, keep your eyes and ears open. What would you do? Here's a scenario for you. What would you do if a friend, I just had the paper, came up to you and told you that, you know, he's pushing me, he's hurting me, he doesn't hit me, he just curses me out, he calls me out of my name, you know, but I love him and I want to stay with him, you know, but I really don't like how he's talking to me. How would you address that situation? What would you do?
I would tell her that's not right. Like, I would basically just try to do everything I can to convince her to, like, get out of the relationship. And then in the back of my head, I'll be thinking about you because I know you got, like, Hope Alliance and stuff like that. So I'll probably, like, ask if she's willing to, like, you know, talk to you just to talk, like, you know. And then, yeah, give her your number,
exchange numbers.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And so, and that's important because a lot of people, you know, like Minister Bethel was saying, that especially in high school, girls feel like, you know, it's love. And the reason why they equate it with love is because they haven't had a pure sense of what love is. It has to do with low self-esteem. It could be some domestic violence in the home, and that's all they've seen. You know, if all you've seen is your mom getting beat up, all you've seen is your mom get cussed out, all you've seen is that, then you start equating that as a norm for a relationship when, in fact, it isn't. One of the things that I wrote in a letter, and I did it on a Blog Talk Radio, was a letter that I wrote to myself when I was going through domestic violence, and your mom and your uncle were in the house, and how in my letter I was saying how bad I felt because I knew they were tired of seeing me go through what I was going through. I knew they were tired of seeing me go through what I was going through. I knew that I wasn't showing my daughter, you know, what her relationship should look like. And so for me, they were an instrumental factor in me saying enough is enough. And then even, you may not even remember it, but even when you were small, the crashing of glass and your being fearful, your mom was at work and it was just you, I, and the perpetrator, because I don't want to say any names, but and you holding me really tight, fearful, you know, and I'm looking at you like, oh, my God. Now my daughter done seen it. Now my granddaughter is getting ready to experience this. It's really time for me to get out of this thing because I didn't want you to be subjected to domestic violence. I didn't want you to be subjected to fear of grandma getting hurt like your mom had done for so many years. And so I just want to encourage somebody who may be listening, who may be going through domestic violence, and you don't know how to get out of it, and you're seeing the remnants of it affecting your daughter. Perhaps you have a daughter that's in high school, or you have a daughter who's dating, and you're looking at the men that she's dating, and they're men who want to control her, who don't let her think for herself, who's isolating her from the family. That's the first red flag in domestic violence, when they don't want you to hang around with your same friends, when they don't want you to hang around with your family, when they try to separate you from people because they're trying to separate you so they have more control. And so I just want to encourage you that there is an answer. There is a way for you to escape that thing. If you need some direction as to how to get out of it, you are so welcome to call me at area code 708-574-2533. Let us assist you, point you in the direction that you need to go in order for you to escape the violence. Get out of the violence. You don't deserve it. I wanted to read, wow, my time is getting away from me. Everyone deserves a healthy relationship. Dating abuse affects people from all ages, all backgrounds, all identities, and which is why it is important to recognize warning signs of abusive behavior. So I just want to go through some of constant put down. If somebody is constantly putting you down, you can never say anything's right, that's a warning sign. And these are just going to be some short blurbs. If I forget anything, Minister Patel, and you want to add, definitely do so. So we got constant put down. Relationship becomes serious too quickly, way too quickly. While I didn't think in my own case that my relationship went too fast, there were others who were telling me that, and I didn't realize it. One of the reasons, and I want to speak specifically to those women who love God. You love God, you want to hurry up and be married so that you're not committing fornication and you're moving too fast. Slow your roll. Pump the brakes. Begin to get before God and ask God to reveal some things to you. Utilize self-control so that you don't get caught up in a situation because you were trying to have sex in God's remnant of what sex should look like. You missed all of the warning signs of the abuser. So we want to just make sure that you don't get into a relationship too quick. If you meet somebody and he like you today and tomorrow he tell you he loves you, that's a problem. That's that is too quick. And so, and you know, if you're a person, you thirsty for love, and you, oh, I love you too, and you just met him, come on now. Look at that for what it is. So don't let that, a big mood swings always just on a pendle. That's not the term I'm looking for. But they just on a just swinging one way to the next way. Each and every day is something different. You want to look at that as a warning sign. Extreme jealousy. If you can't, you know, go out with your friends, if you can't be out of their sight, you know, if you go to your first class and he peeking through the window, and you go to your next class and he peeking through the, and you say, oh, he just love you, he don't want you. No, he crazy. And so you need to look at that. Extreme jealousy is a red flag. Constantly making false accusation, constantly accusing you of cheating, constantly accusing you, well, what did you do this? You know, if you got somebody that's measuring your gas gauge on your car, then saying, where did you go? Well, that's only 2.4 miles, but you use 6.2 miles of gas. No, constantly making false accusation, that's a red flag. Extreme possessiveness, that's a red flag. Isolation from family and friends, red flag. Financial control, red flag. Telling you what to do or preventing you from doing what you want to do. Just you have, they're totally in control of your life. They got a schedule for you. Explosive temper, red flag. And so we want to understand anything else that you can think of that might be a red flag for possible domestic violence behavior. Minister Bethel or Kiara, anybody?
Okay. Not that I think of. I think you pretty much, you got the basic ones.
Yeah,
and
those are the most important ones. And you definitely, you know, you want to be sensitive to that. Don't be so quick to, and I'm definitely talking to young girls who, you know, you love God, you're trying to be a Christian, you know, and at the same time your hormones are raging and things are, you know, starting to stir up in your body and you want to be in a relationship and you definitely want to do it God's way, and the next thing you know, it's just all out of control. And so we want to be sensitive that we're not moving so fast. One of the things I say, sometimes it's good to shake it up a little bit. You know, he calls and just say, you know, I can't talk to you right now. I'm doing my algebra homework. You know, if they get all explosive and say, you don't love me, you putting that before me, that's a problem. You know, and you've got to look at that. You know what I'm saying? Little things cause them to explode, you know, and you be looking like, it's not that serious. That's the problem. And so you want to run, Forrest, run. You want to get out of that. You don't want to even get entangled in that. Break the cycle
right.
Inspires. We want to inspire young people as well as adults. We want to inspire you, encourage you to understand and to know that domestic violence is not something that should be tolerated. And we want to do whatever it takes to eradicate domestic violence, especially in our schools, and to make our schools and the environment for our young people a safe environment. We want to encourage those who are in grammar school or, you know, are going through any type of bullying. Tell an adult as fast as you can. Talk to your teacher. Talk to your principal. Talk to your parents. Please talk to your parents, because it just it blows my mind when I hear of young people committing suicide because of peer pressure or because of bullying, and the parents didn't even realize the degree of what their child is going through. That's because we're not communicating with our young people enough. You know, I make a point of coming in and talking to my grandchildren and, how was your day? Well, what happened at school today? You know, just getting them to talk about their day. We need to start doing that as parents, as grandparents, begin to talk to our teachers, begin to get some dialogue from them about what's happening in their day, and then be genuinely concerned about it. Don't just say it and then, you know, just kind of, why are you saying it? You walk in. You know, really sit down and talk to them. You know, I go in my granddaughter's room a lot, and all through the night I'm walking in there. What you doing? What's going on? What you thinking about? And she, sometimes she be looking like, nothing. Like, what do you want me to say? But we need to make sure we keep those lines of communication open. Minister Bethel, Kiara, any final remarks? We got about 9 minutes before we close out in a prayer. What do you say to somebody, your peers, Kiara, who might be going through domestic violence? What would be your word of encouragement right now? Talk to them.
If you probably my age, like, you probably don't have that many things to compare it to, and you probably feel like it's normal, but it's not. Is anything that, I just want to say, Grandma, Pastor just said, reminding you of the person that you with, then you really need to continue to look for those red flags, just probably a little bit longer, but I would say, probably need to get out of that relationship. And there's plenty of fish in the sea. You can find somebody else.
Thank you, Kiara, I think. Pastor Bethel?
Yeah, a couple of things kind of came to my mind while you was talking. Thought of another red flag. I'm not sure if I missed it. But how they're treating someone else. And, you know, not necessarily a family member or, you know, mother or sister, but a friend or, you know, just either a, you know, just a regular person or whatever, how they encounter with them. Because if they get upset with them, if they want to beat them, if they want to beat up everybody that walk past, you know, and then be all nice and sweet to you, that's a red flag. I thought about, I can't even remember the name of the movie, but it was with Sanaa Lathan and that pretty eyed fella. And, you know, he was all wooing her, you know, buying her coffee and, you know, everything she thought she wanted, he was it, until she saw him interact with someone else. And she was like, oh, hold on. Now, it wasn't against her. You know, he didn't, you know, hit her, he didn't curse her, but it was to someone else. And she was like, wait a minute, you crazy. I'm gone. And then it started, you know, to come out against her. But to definitely be careful of that, you know, and not to think that that's cute, not to think that, you know, that's funny. Because if it's in him to come out at somebody else, it's in him to come out at you as well. So you definitely want to be mindful of that. The other thing that I was thinking about as friends, you were talking about suicide and not being able to talk to the children, the teens not being able to talk to their parents. But it's somebody that they've sworn to secrecy. Mm. And at what point do you say, you know what, I need to let somebody else know what's going on? I mean, we share things, we swear people to secrecy about some stuff. But it should be something that clicks in you, like, you know what, this, I don't think that I should keep this to myself. And it's okay. They may get mad at you. They may not tell you another thing ever, ever in life, but at least they'll live.
Right. You've extended the life.
If you,
exactly.
Exactly. So at what point do you intervene and bring somebody else, you know, responsible into it so that that situation can be stopped and a life can possibly be saved? So always keep that in mind.
Yes, that they're calling it an intervention. When do you call an intervention for a person? A person that's an alcoholic or that's on drugs, the family can get together and do what they call an intervention. Everybody, you know, tells them how much they love them. But we see that you're doing something that's detrimental to your health, and we're calling you out. We're saying you need some assistance. And so as a friend, even in this, in the when we're talking about domestic violence and you're friends of theirs and they've sworn you to secrecy, you know, really talking to them and saying, you know, if you don't get out of this relationship, I'm going to have to tell somebody. Not because I'm trying to put you on Front Street, but because I am fearful of your life right now, and your living is more important than me keeping it secret. So definitely talking about it. We see so much of domestic violence. Even I was looking at that Chris Brown young man and how, first of all, how horrible he looks these days. Then I found out that, you know, I'm looking like he was such a handsome young man. And
he
then
was.
He just spiraled out and started doing all of these crazy things. But I did find out that he's on drugs. Again, it's a situation where he's been abusive to somebody, you know, and he's just not consistently. If you go get help for a volatile behavior, for that kind of a thing, and then you mix that with drugs, that's just compounding a situation. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to deal with the drug abuse, and you got to deal with the fact that you've got some control issues. So just want to be mindful that we're not trying to do what we see those in Hollywood do. We've seen it on the scale from those in Hollywood. We've seen it on the scale from those in the sports arena. You know, what was his name that attacked the girlfriend in the elevator, his wife, fiance at the time, in the elevator, just knocked up cold out, you know. And so we have to be careful and understand that those people who we set up on a high plateau to pattern ourselves after, when they're doing something that's out of whack, we don't want to pattern after that. And so we want to address this issue. We want to begin to talk about these things. Definitely reach out, get some help, whoever we're speaking to on tonight. Father, we just pray now in Jesus' name that this particular segment will reach the right ear, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that we will give understanding, that we will give help to somebody who may be going through domestic violence, whatever their age, oh Lord God. We even pray for those young people who may be going through bullying or being bullied at school, oh Lord God. We pray now, Father, in Jesus' name, that this particular segment will reach the right ear, and that they'll reach out and get help. Strengthen them, O Lord God, in their area of weakness, O Lord God. Let them know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that when you made them, you made a marvelous work, God. We pray now, God, that they'll understand that there is a way for them to escape. You said with you have made a way for us to escape. So show them their escape route now. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Bethel. Thank you, Kiara. Thank you, Khalil, who has gone to watch TV. We appreciate joining us on tonight. Amen. And we look forward to you being with us again on next 7:30, and we look forward to you just participating. So thanks again, and have a good night. Until next week, may God's greatest and may God's
Mama.
Best. Good night, everyone.
Mama.
Good night.